Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Modern communication methods can sometimes falter in the wake of a major landfalling hurricane. What most people might not realize is emergency managers have a backup plan that relies on very old school technology, amateur or ham radio. There's a formal system in place comprised of local licensed ham radio operators and their equipment that emergency officials can call into action if other means of communication are not reliably working. Joining me now to discuss this system and how it works, especially here in Lee County, and how people can get involved is Robert Pantages. He's the treasurer of the Fort Myers Amateur Radio Club, and he's the chair of its technical committee. Robert, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mike. Nice to be here.
And if you'd like to add your voice to our conversation, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So real quick, you're a retired broadcast engineer. How long have you been retired?
I've been retired for 10 years now.
Yeah? And where was that?
I was up in the Philadelphia market. We lived in South Jersey near Atlantic City, so I took care of the New Jersey transmitters.
Ah, yeah. Lots of late nights.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So when did ham radio or amateur radio come into your world?
It came into my world 26 years ago.
Okay.
I got into it late. I did it in high school for a couple of years, and then meet girls and go to college and on to work and family, and then put it aside. And then my daughter finally graduated college. I started studying for my first level test and took that, and then took the next test and the third test after that to get the highest level that a ham could be at. It's called the extra license.
Where does ham come from?
That's a good question. Nobody seems to know. Huh. It's been written up a couple places, and nobody has.
I saw some varying answers.
There's
to
a lot
that.
Of varying answers. It probably just came from somebody said something in one part of the country, somebody said something else in the other part of the country, and it just came up. The best theory I can piece together is hams did broadcasting before they were before they had licensing.
Mm-hmm.
And they just thought that these people were just doing it for free and that are just hams, handing it up.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's the one theory I like the best.
Mm, interesting. So tell us a little bit about the Fort Myers Amateur Radio Club.
Okay, we're a club of about 180 members, and we meet each the last Tuesday of the month in the EOC, which is located in Ortiz Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Emergency Operations Center, in Lee County.
Right, in Ortiz Avenue in Fort Myers. And we, generally our meetings consist of a speaker on different subjects, from everything from computer hacking to wills and private stuff like that. And we also run a communications van. It's actually a trailer we tow along, and we have in there our radios and antennas, and we can set up at any site and, doing an emergency and start communications.
So is the equipment big enough that you would need a trailer, or can it be portable enough that somebody can just show up somewhere and set up?
It's all portable enough. They're in these orange boxes that we just had to pick orange because they stand out, and we make up these boxes with the radio in it, an interface for a computer, and a microphone, and an antenna, and you could take it to a site. And most of the shelters in the county all have antennas on them for the ham radio operators.
So are those antennas able to withstand hurricane force winds? That was the first question that everybody asked me when I was telling them about what we were going to be talking about.
Yes, they should be. They were installed professionally. So
so they're there because of the fact that they might be needed after a storm.
Right.
So they've been made that way.
Yes. I mean, we had an antenna. The antennas, we had survived Irma. So we were pretty proud of that.
Overall, has the world of amateur radio gotten smaller as technology has gotten more digital? It seems like maybe it's sort of a throwback, or maybe not. I don't know. That might just be an assumption.
It's actually gotten bigger.
Really?
Yes, we have more ham licenses.
Sort of that do-it-yourself kind of mentality, maybe.
Well, not so much do-it-yourself, but the equipment you usually buy. But you do it yourself with the antennas that you put up at your house, or mounting a radio in your car, and using an antenna on that. You have to be somewhat able to solder and know what the difference between plus and minus is on a wiring circuit.
Do you guys have some younger people in the club?
Yes, we do. We have quite a few younger people.
Hmm.
And so, it's a growing club like that.
So talk about, you know, we've kind of just alluded to this, but talk about, you know, how exactly you guys fit into the Lee County Emergency Operations picture. You guys have a place there at the Lee EOC?
Yes, we do. We have our own room. And Lee County is very cooperative with the ham radio operators. We take our orders from the emergency management. They'll set up a system of what shelters they want to open when a storm's coming, and they'll tell us where the shelters are, and we'll send at least two operators to each shelter. Sometimes the operator will bring his family along if they feel they have to evacuate their house, and then we wait till the storm hits, and we do communications for the shelter manager. If he needs more cots, more water, whatever he needs, we can communicate back to the EOC to bring the supplies over.
Are you guys being taken advantage of or being used if other methods of communication have failed, or are you guys sort of become the primary since you're around the edges of cell phones and landline phones and internet-based stuff?
When everything else fails, that's when ham radio comes in. But gotcha. We have to be there. We can't – you know,
they don't call you in after everything fails.
Right,
you're there
right.
in case they, everything fails.
That's what's
fails.
Nice about Lee County. They're very well set up, very well organized. Huh. And so is Collier and County. They're very organized with the ham radio operators. They bring them in before the storm in case something happens.
And then you guys train year-round?
Yes, we do. We have a daily session where we handle messages back and forth across the country, just basic messages, you know, greetings, how are you, happy birthday, just so we get used to sending a message from one place to another place and, with not getting any anything wrong. Like if they need 50 cots, we're not saying get 5 cots. We want it to be 50 cots.
You know, it's interesting. I was around for Hurricane Charlie in 2004 and all those hurricanes back then. I was at the Lee EOC during Charlie in 2004 as a reporter for here.
Right.
And I had no idea that this aspect of emergency management even was there. I guess it's just you guys are just kind of behind the scenes as part of the team.
Yes, we are. We are behind the scenes. I was doing Irma. I was at the Hertz Arena, and it took in some water, and it got a little scary when the roof started to leak during the storm. And matter of fact, the manager came up to me and said, "Where's the hurricane?" And I was listening to WGCU, and I said, "Well, the eye is coming right over us now, so face next is the next wall, and then it should be over with." So.
You were listening to our reporter, Rachel Iacovone, who was on the air when the eye went over, actually,
yes,
probably.
Yes, yes.
I'm talking with Robert Pantages. He's a retired broadcast engineer and treasurer of the Fort Myers Amateur Radio Club and chair of its technical committee. We're learning about how the old school technology of ham or amateur radio fits into the modern emergency management equation. To ask a question or weigh in on our conversation, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So you alluded to the fact that you talk to people all over the country. Amateur
yes.
radio goes a long way, right?
Yes, it does. It goes around the world.
And in layman's terms, why? How?
If people are familiar with the old shortwave broadcasting, it works on the same frequencies as the shortwave broadcasters did. And there's not that many shortwave broadcasters left, but they're still out there. But amateur radio uses those high frequencies to talk around the world. It bounces off the ionosphere, mm-hmm. bounces off the ground and up the ionosphere again until it gets around the world.
And can you only talk to other people who are using this same equipment, or is it possible to use this technology to talk to people on other wavelengths?
You can – well, if you have to be
if
in the same frequency,
right.
That's one thing. The other thing is there is now digital communications.
That's what I was wondering is where does the world of digital interface with the world of amateur radio?
It's getting real big right now. There's professor from Princeton State Princeton College in New Jersey came up with a system that can pick up a signal under very extreme noise conditions. And you could detect the signal, what it says and who the person is and what kind of strength they have.
Is that using still just your normal ham radio or amateur radio antenna?
Yes. It's using your antenna, your radio, but a computer tied into the radio.
Huh. So let's get back to the emergency management
okay.
stuff. So so you would be dispatched in case as a storm is coming. Talk a little bit more about what happened for you guys during Irma.
Okay. We were dispatched to the Hertz Arena,
mm-hmm.
and we were at the top floor. And what was nice about it, they had in there the state police, the county sheriff, the fire department, animal control because they're allowing people to bring animals in, and the National Guard to bring in food and everything. So it was a very, very well-run operation. And the only thing is during as the eye passed over, we start noticing people in the center of the floor. We're moving quickly out of the way. Turns out water was coming in from the ceiling.
Oh, right, right, right.
And, we were handling that, getting back to, the EOC, telling him, that there's a problem here. We don't know if this, if this roof is going to hold up or whatever. And at one point, even a fire alarm went off. Turned out that one of the air conditioning units on the roof caught fire, but the wind and the rain put it out, thankfully.
Were you guys called into action during Irma? In other words,
yes, ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yes, we went there.
Were other communication techniques broken enough that they needed to use your transmitters?
Yes, at one point the manager lost the cell phone connection, so he had to use us to find out what's going on in the outside world.
And then you feel like you're just in a whole different world.
Yes, yes.
We have a call from Robert in Port Charlotte. Robert, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. What would you like to ask?
Thank you very much. Your guest was talking about bouncing off the ionosphere, which I look at a bunch of satellites from heavens above, and they do have a listing of ham radio satellites that come over. Are you based on using those satellites at times?
Sometimes. I have a system. I have a station at home that I can talk off a satellite, but most of the time it's only an 11-minute window to do the talking as a satellite passes over. The satellites are not in geosynchronous orbit, but they are just circling the Earth about 150 miles above the Earth, so you're going out this 11-minute window. So it's mainly just for experimenting and trying to talk to somebody quickly in another zone in the United States or in the Caribbean.
You answered my question. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, Robert. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And that actually reminded me of an experience I had years ago. I went on a story for here to a local elementary school, and there was an amateur radio club there. Maybe it was you guys back in the day. And they talked to the International Space Station as it came
that
over.
Is that the one in October?
Well, no. This would have been 10 years ago
okay,
or something
in October,
like that.
In October, we did that.
So you still do that?
Yes. We had our team leader was Brian Darley. And Miss Black, who was a teacher at this, who was a teacher at the school.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, she won the Teacher of the Year at AFA Award. And she coordinated with NASA to talk to the International Space Station. We set up the antennas, the radios, and we had to have two sets, a backup and a main.
That was such a fascinating experience for those kids because they were able to say with certainty, here it comes. We're going to hear them any second.
Right.
There they were.
That's right.
And then
exactly
they're
what
here
happened.
For 11 minutes, I guess, or something like that. Maybe it's different for the
ISS
because it's higher.
It's about 11 minutes also.
And then it went out on the
yes.
other end. And
yes.
so what you're broadcasting, it goes up. Do you have to aim it up? Does it just
yes,
go
the,
up?
The
How
antennas,
does that work?
The antennas are directional.
Oh,
and they have,
okay.
There's a rotor motor up there that rotates them as this International Space Station is passing overhead. It goes azimuth up and vertically to track the International Space Station.
So if somebody wanted to get into this world of amateur radio, how big is the hurdle when it comes to cost? And B, how should they get in touch with you guys?
Okay, there's three grades of licenses. There's a basic license, which is 35 questions from a pool of about 600 questions. And our club does offer courses on it. Can I give the website for our
club?
Yeah,
sure, absolutely. And it's linked on our website too, by
okay,
the way.
Okay, it's fmarc@.net. And on there you'll find when we're running classes and who to contact to sign up for the classes. And the basic gives you the communications for local people. And it costs about $300 okay. usually to get into that.
Gotcha.
You get a little cheaper if you buy used equipment.
Okay. Has the equipment changed very much in modern years, or
a
is it for the
deal.
Most? Oh, it
a
has.
Great deal.
Okay.
The transmitters have stayed about the same. Maybe the audio processing has gotten a little better, but the receivers have really come a long way since the.
Is digital helping with that?
Yes, it is.
I
yes.
can see that, yeah.
Yes, yes. A lot of the radios are all digital inside.
And then you guys have a meeting coming up on the 18th at the EOC. That's your next meeting?
No, it would be the last Thursday of the month. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Well, that's okay. It'll be on your website.
Yes,
but that's something
yes.
that people from the public can go to
oh,
if
yes.
they're interested?
Yeah, yes, yes. The meeting starts at 7 o'clock. The gate opens at 6:30. And anybody's welcome from the public. We had a couple of people come at the last meeting that were, you know, were just interested in ham radio, and they just wanted to, you know, like ask questions and talk to us and see what we have to offer.
Hmm. And so how many people that are in your club are qualified to be part of a disaster response if a hurricane comes?
Roughly 100.
Okay.
Now,
so you guys cover a lot of ground if you needed to.
Yes, but about 30 of them are snowbirds.
Oh.
So we do go down to 70.
So about 70.
Yes, about 70 during the season.
Yeah. Very unlikely we're going to get a hurricane during the
I know,
pleasant
but we could
time
get,
of
we
year.
Could get major fires and everything. It could cause
That's
in
true.
For that.
So you guys, in other words, you're ready for – it's not just a hurricane thing.
That's
it's,
correct.
You're part of emergency management scheme despite whatever the disaster
That's
would
correct.
Be.
Yes.
Okay. Any final thoughts before we end this? We're running out of time.
Oh, I just want to say this. There is about 800,000 amateurs, and in this area alone, there's about 1,500 amateur radio operators. And our club has about 200 of them, roughly.
Whenever I think of amateur radio or ham radio, I'm reminded of you know the member of the movie Contact. With Jodie Foster at the beginning, she's talking CQ or whatever.
Yes, yes, yeah. exactly.
Is that
right?
Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
I didn't even know. I didn't even look that up. It just came out of
CQ
my head.
CQ means calling anybody.
Huh.
It's abbreviation.
Interesting. Well, I really appreciate you coming in. I'm glad that I stumbled across your world in order to highlight it for the rest of the world. That is all the time we have. Thanks to my guest, Robert Pantages is the treasurer of the Fort Myers Amateur Radio Club and chair of its technical committee. Thank you very much for coming in and shedding some light on this.
Well, thank you very much, Mike.
And thanks to our earlier guests, Mark Jenkins from AAA and Fort Myers State Farm agent Michelle Lasapio. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear all of our episodes in their entire on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Julie Glenn and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.